So today is 21st of Tevet, January 5th. We are still very much in the last chapter of Shmuel Bet. We're finishing Sefer Shmuel, but not for another few weeks. I'm going to drag it out as much as I can. I hope you don't feel like it's being dragged out. I'm finding it fascinating. So we are in the same little section of Psukim. And we're going to do the Malbim on them, as we usually do, but we didn't have time to do them. And I found some amazing, really interesting sources that are built on this section. I don't know if we'll have time to get to them today. They're in the source sheet, but we might wait till next week. Okay, so I'm not going to read all the Psukim out loud. I'm just going to summarize the beginning. The Malbim will remind us of the actual wording. So David regrets this census that he took of counting the people, which we've seen seemed to have no higher purpose. He just wanted to know how many. We've discussed that maybe he's worried after all the rebellions of his son Avshalom and his enemy Shimi ben Bichri, where people joined these rebellions, that maybe he just wants to keep track of people, maybe even for enlistment to army purposes. But it was definitely not for spiritual purposes, and it was done directly without any kind of what they call a kofar, redemption, which would normally be a coin or a pottery shard or something that would be in place of counting them directly. So the Malbim has explained to us that either you count them directly, but it's for some higher spiritual purpose, or you don't count people directly, you count through this kofar, a coin or a shard or sheep even, and then you also don't get punished in the same way. So he regrets it immediately. He says, Chatati. You can see here, as David does, he always acknowledges his sins. And then God, his Navi at the time, offers him directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He receives a vision from Hashem that he brings to David that he has. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? That he has three choices. So the three choices are a famine for 7 years. And we spent a lot of time on that number seven because in Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim, it says 3 years of famine, or 3 months of being pursued by your enemies, or 3 days of dever, of plague. And David chooses, based on the fact that it is from God, it's not a natural event, it's not that he feels he can appeal to Hashem's mercy, the dever, the famine. And we knew that through the language. And then the famine comes, and we saw all the pieces in the Gemara that rather than lasting 3 days, it seems to last a very short time. The Malbim is going to bring that up and review that as well. Exactly how much time was it, an hour, or was it just a morning? And the differences between that. And then, so 70,000 people die, unfortunately, and then it stops. So it says the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it. And then at that moment, before Yerushalayim was destroyed, Hashem regrets, whatever that means, this evil. And he says to this destructive angel, who's in the nation, you've done enough, release your hand. And he then where was he when he stopped? He was right by the threshing floor of Aravna. Okay, so let's actually read these psukim because this will be relevant. Vayishlach yado hamalach Yerushalayim. So the angel sent his hand out to Yerushalayim. Notice the Malbim is going to comment on this strange wording. Vayishlach yado hamalach. It's a little redundant. And he sent his hand, the angel. So you'd think it would be, you might be Hamalach Yado, and the angel stretched his hand. That would be a little bit more clear, okay? To Yerushalayim to destroy it. And Hashem regretted the evil, Ve'inachem Hashem et ha'ra'ah, Vayomer l'malach, and he said, l'malach mashchit, and he said to the angel, hamashchit ba'am rav, who had destroyed many, sorry, I always miss, every time I've read this, I've mispunctuated it. So he said to the angel, Hamashchit Ba'am, who has destroyed among the nation.
Sorry, Stacey, which pasuk are you on? I can't find
Tet
it.
Zayin. So Kaf Dalet Tet Zayin.
Kaf Dalet. Okay, thank you.
Sure. So Va'am Rav Ata, it is enough for you. Okay, and I just want to point out to you that these little notes actually give us clues on how to punctuate. I'm just telling you what's going through my head right now. So Vayomer Lamalach, these two little things right here means a pause. So he said to the angel, Hamashchit Ba'am, this little note says, read it to the next word, who is destroying in the nation. Rav Ata, these are both separating notes, so it's not really clear. So you've done enough. Haref Yadcha, stay your hand or release your hand. Okay, so just showing you that a little bit. Umalach Hashem Haya im Goren, and pay attention to this because this is going to be important. Ha'orna, or as that's what's written, but we pronounce it Ha'aravna. And really, whenever he's referred in later text, he's called Arnon, I think. It's very confusing. Hayevusi, who comes from the Yebusites. Vayomer David al Hashem bir oto et hamalach hamakeh ba'am. And David said to the Lord when he saw the angel that smote among the people, Vayomer, and he said, so here we have a double Vayomer. So we're going to see in the Midrashim that whenever there's a double Vayomer, meaning, and he said, and then the same person says again, it means there's some sort of dialogue or action or something that we're missing that will be filled in by that. Okay? So he says, Hine anochi chatati, behold, I've sinned, ve'anochi ha'aviti, and I've done an iniquity, ve'ele hatzon ma'asu. But these sheep, my people, we talked about that last week, what have they done? Tehina yatcha bi ubebet avi. Please, I beg you, let your hand be on me and on my father's house. Let the punishment just come to me. That's something that we might not get to today, but we're really going to explore. What was the sin of the people that they deserved this 70,000 dead? Was it just random because of David took the census? We explored last week. One opinion was perhaps because the people in being counted didn't stand up to stop it. They had some liability there. We're going to see other opinions today, or maybe next week. Vayavol Gad el David. And David came to David, Vayom Hahu, on that day, Vayomer lo, Alei Hakim Lashem Yizbeach Begoren. This we did not do last week. So go up and erect a Mizbeach, an altar to Hashem, Begoren. And look, again, it's spelt in a completely different way than it is here. So we pronounce it the same way, Ha'arevna, but it's what it's written is different again here. Okay, so this is Ha'orna with the hey, and this is Arnia. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Okay, with the yud hey here. Hayavusi, the Jebusite. Okay, so we're going to do Malbim from the beginning of this section because we never got to it. By the way, I'm thinking, and Ruth, you can talk to me after this if this sounds like a good idea to you. When we do finish this, whenever this is, I was thinking that we could do a Parsha class, but basing it on the commentary of the Malbim, since I've been doing so much Malbim. So you can email me if you think that sounds interesting. I've actually been learning the Malbim with my Machatenista every week, and as you might imagine, he has fascinating takes and sometimes very different takes on the Parsha, just like he does here in Shmuel. So you can email me if you think that sounds like a good thing to do once we finish. Okay, so here's Malbim. Shalosh ani notel alecha. So God is coming to him and saying, three things I will place on you. So, and those are the famine, being chased by his enemies, and the plague. Amarle, he said to him, Da, shehitchayata lehe'anash b'shalosh onshim. Know that you actually were obligated to be punished by three punishments. Not a choice, like he gets, but you were really liable for all three. Ra'av v'cherev v'dever, famine, sword, and plague. Raka yedei shetivcha ata et anshecha, and only by way of you choosing what your punishment will be, k'mikabel alav ha'yisurin b'ahava miratzon libo, like one who receives his punishment or his tortures. This is this this word yisurim is the same as the word musar. If you've heard, I'm giving you some musar, like a little rebuke, a little ethical, judgmental, not judgmentalism, but anybody have a better translation for musar? It's like one who receives this be'ahava, with love, and with the willingness of his heart. So imagine, we've all had this in our lives where we felt really guilty about something and we actually welcome the punishment, whatever it might be, as a way to make up for that which we've done. So that's what God is telling David he has the opportunity to do. Yadai be'achat meham. And because you'll receive it from love, one of these punishments will be enough. That is to say, if I'm going to place it on you, etol kol shalosh, I would place all three. Aval ha'etza, but the advice is, b'char lecha ba'atzmecha echat mehena. You choose for yourself one of these. So this means that David has to make this awful choice of choosing one of these that we discussed last week. He felt if he chose that his enemies will pursue him, the people will say, well, he had all of those soldiers and bodyguards surrounding him, so it's not going to really impact him. And if he chooses the famine, the people will say, well, he has his own storage of food, so it won't really affect him. So he chose the dever, the plague, which is an equal opportunity punisher, which I guess he felt he could choose and receive with acceptance. And that's what Hashem is asking him to do, to choose which one so that he doesn't get all three. And I wanted to show you, this is based on something Rav Bazak said in his article. This is from Yirmiyahu, that these three things are found together in several places. So this is just one example. They fast, I will not hearken to their prayer, and if they offer up a burnt offering or a meal offering, I do not accept them, but I will utterly destroy them with the sword and with famine, with pestilence. V'cherev u'barav u'bedever. So there, it's not a choice, it's all three. They do go together quite often. But David gets the choice. Vayavo God, vayagedlo. So God came and told him. Higidlo tzchila ha'etzashi kabel hadin baratzon. So first he gives him this advice that he should receive the judgment willingly, as we discussed, because then he'll only get one. Ubedivrei hayamim, but in Chronicles, if you remember, we've been comparing the different wording in Chronicles. That's the parallel passage to our passage. Peresh, it explains, Vayavo Gad vayomer lo ko amar Hashem kabel lecha. So this phrase is different. Receive for yourself. Ratzon lomar, so what does that mean? Kibel al atzmo be'ahava. Receive it upon yourself with love. So this kabel lecha sort of reminds us of lech lecha. When Hashem says to Avram, go, and what's that lecha? For yourself. So for your own benefit. So receive it with love. V'hine po amar, hatzavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av ba'artzecha. So here we have the number 7. U'bedivrei hayamim amar im shalosh shanim. And in Chronicles it says 3 years of famine. U'ledati, so now he's going to, so we saw a different explanation before that the three and seven, one explanation we saw, I forgot who said it, said that there had been a famine prior to this with the Gibonims, the Gibonites, where David had to offer up all the the descendants of Shaul to be hanged. It was a very sad story in chapter 21 of Shmuel Bet, and then the famine ended, so that this 7 in our text is adding on to that 3, but the famine for this incident would only be 3 years. So that's one explanation we saw before. The Malbim says something very different. V'ledati, according to me, achar shezeh haya besof yimei David, shalosh shanim kodem moto. The Malbim is telling us that this whole event happened 3 years before David died. David died at the age of 70, so he would have been 67. Hagam she'amar le shiyu sheva shanim ra'av be'artso. So there would be 7 years in the land. Be'er Ezra b'divrei hayamim shelefize lo hayu b'chayi David rak shalosh shanim ra'av. But during the lifetime of David, there were only 3 years of famine. So there would be 7 years total. B'hayeter acharei moto. But the remainder of these 7 years would be after David's death. And that's what we learn in Chronicles. Ubi divrei hayamim, and in Chronicles, katuv, it's written, ואם שלושה חודשים נספה מפני צריך וחרב אויבך למסגת, this is the 3 months of running away from your enemies, ואם שלושת ימים חרב השם, ודבר, and the 3 months of the sword of Hashem, ודבר בארץ ומלאך השם משחית בכל גבול ישראל, sorry, in the 3 days of the sword of Hashem and a pestilence in the land, and the angel of Hashem will destroy all the borders of Israel. Kipo sider min hachamor el hakel. So here, these 3 things are ordered from the most severe to the lightest. Shaharaav, the famine, yishamesh shanim v'hacherav chadashim. The hunger would be years, and the David fleeing his enemies would be months. V'hadever yamim, and the plague only days. V'sham, and there, in divrei hayamim, sider min hakel el hachamor. It's ordered from the lightest to the most serious. Shacherav tiga b'David atzmo, shetasigehu cherav oivav. The sword would only impact David himself, but he would flee from it with his enemies. V'chein hadever lo yativi raka yidei shaliach hashkachi. And the plague would not be natural. It would be with the divine providence of God. Shir'u kul'am mal'ach v'cherv shlufa b'yado. Everyone would see this angel and the sword unsheathed in his hand. So therefore, the famine is the most severe because it's natural. And so therefore, it's not divine and it can't have a surprise ending, I guess. Vayomer David. So here's where David chooses. Ra'a ki onesh hara'av hu onesh tivi. So he saw that the plague, the punishment of the famine was a natural punishment. Ve'onesh hacherev v'chiri. And the punishment of him being chased by his enemies was a choice. Ve'lachin bachar b'dever. And therefore he chose plague, achar shehu hashkachi, because this was divine providence. V'rabo rachmei Hashem, and Hashem's mercy is great. Okay, somebody else said that also last week that we saw. V'yiten Hashem dever me'aboker ad eitz moed. So Hashem gives this plague from the morning until its appointed time. And we saw Gemara that the Malbim is going to quote here, where from Brachot, Samach Bet Amud Bet, where Shmuel says that this was from the time of the killing, the shchita, the ritual slaughter of the tamid, that korban, until they sprinkled his blood, which would be a very short amount of time, and that's how Targum Yonatan translates also. And the other rabbi says, until chatzot. So this is a longer period of time, that it was the whole morning. L'dat harishon, so according to the first opinion, hayta gzeira kala v'nichretza l'hashchita kol. So according to the first opinion, Hashem's decree with this plague was to destroy everyone and everybody. Ki'im b'sha'a achat naflu shiv'im elf, because in only 1 hour, 70,000 fell. So if 70,000 fell from this plague in 1 hour, you can imagine if it had lasted the entire 3 days, then it would have destroyed everybody. And that's what he goes on to say. If it had been the remaining 23 hours, there would have been thousands upon thousands, and even more than the number that Yoav found in his census, if you kept kept multiplying that by the number of hours in what was decreed for the 3 days of the plague.
Should have worn their masks and done their social distancing.
Yes, exactly. okay, and then he goes on to explain that it would be this humongous number because, of course, it would include women and children and everybody, and that's how we reach this humongous number of 70,000 multiplied by, I guess, 72, because it would be 72 hours. And even he includes even the Erav Rav, the mixed multitudes that came up with them from Egypt. Okay, so and he says the women and the children would be 3 times 600,000. Okay, so it's a lot of numbers, a lot of math. I'm not reading it inside. And in 3 days, everyone would be destroyed. So according to the second opinion, I forgot who the Yid was. That's, I'm cheating a little. So I'm just taking second opinion. I don't think it was Rabbi Yochanan, but it might have been. Hayta ha-gezera rak al-hanimnim. So the second opinion that says that 70,000 were not killed just in 1 hour, but they were killed in half the day. So that would equal, mathematically, and he goes through all the numbers, that would equal the number of people counted in the census. Okay? So if 70,000 people died in 6 hours, the number that would die in 3 days would be 12 times that. And that would be, that was close to the number of the census. Okay, any questions on that? It's an interesting thought, and he's really using his mathematical brain figuring that out. Okay, Reishla, and also it's interesting to think of the intent of the two different rabbis in the Gemara, that one rabbi thinks that Hashem was going to destroy everybody and everything, and the other one says, no, it just would have been those counted in the census. It's an interesting distinction between what the outcome would have been and what Hashem's intent was. Okay, Vayishlach Yado HaMalach Yerushalayim. So, and again, this strange phrasing, if you remember, we have a double possessive, kind of. So, and he sent his hand, the angel, Jerusalem. Lefi Chukei HaLashon. So according to the rules of grammar, Hayat Tzirich Liot Vayishlach HaMalach Yado. It should have been, and the angel sent his hand. Okay, so we should have put this word hamalach before vayishlach. Ubedivrei hayamim, and in Chronicles, vayishlach ha'elokim malach Yerushalayim. So in Chronicles, we actually have the subject of the verb is not the malach, the angel. The subject of the verb is God, and God sent, the angel is the object to Yerushalayim, okay? Ukafizeh, and according to this, gam hashekatuv po, that which is written here, vayishlach, hainu Hashem, shenizkar tchila. When it says vayishlach in our pasuk, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's God sending his hand. Hashem shalach et yado, shehu haya hamalach. Hashem sent his hand because he was the angel. Ki hamalach hamashchit bedever, the destructive angel with a plague, mechuna b'ktuvim b'shem Yad Hashem, is expressed in the writings of the Torah with the name, the hand of God. And we see this in Shmot. Hine Yad Hashem, havaya b'miknecha, the hand of God will be on your cattle. That's, of course, the plague of Dever that, you know, you take out with your, from your wine glass on Pesach. And like it's written in the actual Haggadah, and this might sound familiar to you, Biad Chazaka Zo Hadever, the strong hand, this actually, the Haggadah tells us, refers specifically to the plague. Shepoel Hashem Ayide Malachav Osei Devaro, that the actions of God, by way of his angels, they do what he says. Vayomer Vechule Rav Ata, so this is where he's telling, God is telling the angel to stop. Ki ha-mashchit higia el ir Tzion, ir David. So the destructive angel had arrived to Zion, the city of David. Ki haya im goren arvana, makom beit ha-mikdash. And it was with the place, the threshing floor of Arvana, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, shaita ben Tzion ve-Yerushalayim. That was between Zion, Tzion, and Jerusalem. And it would have been forced to plague David. And this is quoting Gemara that I included the English for you so you could see the whole thing rather than just these three words and the etc. here. So what does the Gemara say? Rav Yosef taught a braita. What is the meaning of that which is written with regard to the plague of the firstborn? And none of you shall go out of the opening of his house until the morning. If the plague was not decreed upon the Jewish people, why were they not permitted to leave their homes? Once permission is granted to the destroyer to kill, it does not distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. And not only that, but it begins with the righteous first, as it is stated in the verse, and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Righteous, as mentioned, preceded the wicked. It might be too soon, but this passage might be comforting to people who have really suffered and been impacted by our current plague. It's not so comforting in a theodicy sense when bad things happen to good people, but which we can't understand, but just in a general sense of how plague works I don't know. You can put it in your back pocket and take it out if you feel it would be appropriate. Okay, so meaning, what's the point of it here, is that this plague was about to reach Jerusalem, where David lived, and the bad angel, the destructive angel, would have no choice but to infect David, because A, he's righteous, and B, we don't discriminate with these plagues. Ubeze nicham Hashem b'skut David. And this is why Hashem regretted, again, whatever that means, in the merit of David. And he said that he should loosen his hand and not destroy. So the explanation of the reason, Ki amad im goren arvana. I know I keep mispronouncing his name. We should just call him Arnon. So because he stood with the threshing floor of Arvana, v'gam zchut hamakom garam, and also the merit of the place caused it. And this is really interesting and a deeper way of understanding the Midrash that we had seen. Again, the same Gemara in Brachot. Ma ra'a, what did he see? If you remember, we had a whole discussion of all the different things that he saw that caused him to stop the plague. So the one was Afaro shel Yitzchak ra'a. He saw the ashes of Yitzchak. V'chein amru kesef kippurim ra'u. And he also saw the atonement money. So either one of those things. And Mommy's going to explain here, Ratzon Lomar, that is to say, She'atidim lishkol shiglehem kol shana l'makom hazeh. In the future, they would weigh out their money, their shekels, every year to this place, v'hashkalim mechaprim mehanegef. And the shekels, money, atones for the plague. Okay, so he would see this shekel that he saw, the kesef kippurim, the atonement money, it gives us a deeper understanding of this. It's not just that you pay and then your soul is redeemed. It's that this money that we, the Jewish people, were giving and donating toward the Beis HaMikdash every year was a merit for us, that we did this, that we supported this with love and with enthusiasm. And in addition to that, we also know that that giving money atones from the plague. So that's how it worked. Ubi divrei hayamim, katuv bezeh, and in Chronicles, it's written a little differently. Vayisa David et einav. David lifted up his eyes. Vayar et malach Hashem omed bein haaretz ubein hashamayim. V'charbo shlufa biyado. Nituya al Yerushalayim. So he saw the angel of Hashem standing between the land and between the heavens, and his sword was unsheathed in his hand, leaning on Jerusalem. Vayipol David v'hazkenim mikusim b'sakim al pneihem. And David and the elders who were covered with sackcloth fell on their faces. Okay, I just want to look at the pasuk here. Okay, so in our case, no, it doesn't. I'm trying to find where it says Vayar for Hashem. Okay, so it doesn't, yeah, I guess it's not here. I don't know, that's why I got confused, sorry. Okay, so in Divrei Hayamim, though, it explicitly says that David saw this. David, okay, Ki Perush, the explanation is, Ki Azra David et Hamalach. David at that moment saw the angel. And he saw that he was in the future meant to be plagued. And therefore he saw it. And that's when God said, release your hand. And David was saved, not by chance, but by divine providence. And then the angel was removed from the land, because he no longer had the authority to plague, but he still hadn't returned to the heavens, because God hadn't given him the authority, the permission to do that either. And therefore this angel was between the heaven and between the earth. And he answers that in the beginning, his sword was pointed towards Tzion, the city of David. But when God said to him, release your hand, Hafach et charbo mitzad shel Tzion. He then turned his sword towards Tzion. El tzad Yerushalayim shaya sham tchila. Towards the direction of Jerusalem that was there first. V'zeh she'amar nituya al Yerushalayim. And that's why it says it was leaning towards Jerusalem. Ratzon lomar nituya al hatzad. It was on its side. Vayomer David al Hashem berotto et hamalach hamakeh ba'am. And David said to Hashem when he saw this angel that was striking the nation, Ayadi shera'a hamalach lo yigabo hagam shera'ahu. Because he saw that the angel was not going to plague him, and also that he saw him, v'rak nata charbo letzad ha'am, and he was only leaning his sword toward the nation, halo anochi chatati v'gam ha'aviti, behold, it is I who have sinned and transgressed. Kaniktav le'el, as it's written above, v'lami anisha ta'am b'avaro shehu ha'chota, why are you punishing the nation because of this when I, David, am the sinner? Okay, so that is the Malbim on that little section that we had. It's a little confusing, I apologize, but we're going to see some other commentators. So, yeah, I think we'll just have time for this. So the Radak, so first I want to focus on that strange Ktiv and Kra. So just to remind you, we have Orna and our Ravna. And then we have Arnia and Aravna. Okay? So that's what we're going to be exploring now. So the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, has a very simple explanation. Ha'orna, katuv bivav. It's written with a vav right here. This little, well, that little vav. Kodem l'resh, before the resh. Bikari arvana. But Kri, sorry, but that you read it as Arvana. So you read it with the Vav after the Resh. So the Vav before the Resh, written, but we read it the Vav before the Resh. Resh kodem levav, Resh before the Vav. Ve'echad hu, but it's just one thing, ki rabim kamahu behafuch ha'otiot. There are many places where letters are switched around. Uma she'adam, she'amar adam behei hayidia, and that which he's talking to the person, this hey at the beginning is means the usually. So we don't usually put the word the before a person's name, and that's called hey hayidia, which is opposed to hey hasheela. Sometimes in Hebrew you can change the whole tone of a statement into a question by adding the letter hey. And that's hey hasheela, the hey of the question. Hu shelo kaminhag v'yishar shehu shem tor. It's not our minhag to put that hey before. So he's saying maybe it's not really a name, but rather it's an adjective. Okay? It's an interesting thought, but clearly they're struggling with the oddness of this name. So the Al-Sheikh offers completely different explanation for the name. Vayomer David ha-Hashem berotot malach ha-makeh ba'am. So, and David said when he saw the angels smiting the nation, Hine terem yir'eh David at ha-malach. Behold, before David saw the angel, Hamakeh, the smiting, Amar b'libo, he said in his heart, Ulai mehashem yatsa lehakot ba'am al divrei avonot asher bam. So maybe this is from God, this smiting that came out to smite the nation because of the sins that are in them. Okay, I just want to check something again. Okay, I thought it was the place. Yeah. Oh, no, it is. So this was, I remember I mentioned to you the double Vayomer. So David and Vayomer, David said to God when he saw the smiting angel of the nation, and then he said, I'm the one who sinned. Okay? So the Al-Sheikh, so just to remind you, the Al-Sheikh lived in 16th century Tzfat. He was friends with Rav Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch. He was a Kabbalist. So he is putting this thought of David in between those two Vayomers that were both by David. So he's saying, maybe the nation really does deserve this. Maybe they did something wrong. Ach, bir'ot shahaya na'aseh al yedei mashchit, amar ulai ma shemakah ba'am hu me'atzmo. So, But when he saw that it was done by way of this destructive angel, he said, maybe this smiting of the nation is from itself. Because once the destructive angel has been given permission, he doesn't differentiate between righteous and wicked, like we saw in that Gemara. Al-Kenamar, and therefore he said, Hine anochi chatati, behold, I have sinned. Ve'ela hatzon ma'asu, and by way of the sheep, what did they do? Alkein al ta'as al yidei mashchit, and therefore please don't do it by way of this destructive angel, she'ino mavchin, who doesn't differentiate. Tina yadcha be'atzmecha, she'al yadi, ken she'ata mavchin tihi bi ubeit avi. You do it yourself, God. Don't do it by way of an angel, because you differentiate, and please just punish me and my father's household. It's a beautiful notion of David praying for his nation. V'hine shem bal makom mizbeach Hashem mishuneh b'mikra. And behold, the name of the owner of the place of the altar of God is different in the writings, in the scripture. Tchila hu bevav bein ha'alef v'ha'resh. In the beginning, as we saw, there's a vav in between the Aleph and the Resh, Aleph Vav Resh, that's in Pasuk Tetzayin, Umalach Hashem Haya Im Goren Ha'arona, Vikari Arvana, and we read it differently. Ve'acharkach Arniya, Ve'acharkach Arona. Okay, so we have these three. We have Arvana, Arona, and then Aranya, and then Arona. V'hine Be'agadat Shmuel. So in this midrash that we're going to see, I think next week, we're going to look at it in full. I actually found the English of it. Ki ba'avon shelo hayu tov'im Yisrael binyan beit hamikdash laku b'davar shiv'im elef ish. So the midrash offers a reason for why 70,000 people died, and it's because Israel, meaning us, we did not demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If you remember a long time ago, David HaMelech himself says he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu denies him and says it's not going to be you. And we learn later that it's because he had too much blood on his hands, that it wasn't him. So we're getting a little hint here, and we're going to explore it more next week, that really, why was David denied? Because he was one man. It really should have come from all of us to demand this building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? V'hine, but we'll explore that more next week. So on with the Al-Sheikh. V'hine yitachin ki shem bel ha-makom Arona. It could be that the name of the owner of this place is Arvana. Lirmoz lanu v'shmo Aron Hashem. So the Al-Sheikh breaks up his name into two words. Aron, the Aron, like the Aron Kodesh, this enclosing space of God. Uvechein ramaz b'malach ha-mashchit shaya im goren ha-arona. And that is hinted in the destructive angel who was with the threshing floor of ha-aron ka, the enclosing space. I keep wanting to say closet, that's modern Hebrew, but the aron kodesh, right? It's like a closet for the Torah. Ha-aron, so that explains the hay, the closet of God. Okay, closet's bad. If you maybe we want to suggest something else. Lermoz ki tachat shem hagadol asher hu choneshem hem arba otiot hakdushotem. To hint that under this great name, that it is encamped there, are the four holy letters. They are the four holy letters. Ata chaserot hayud. Now in this word ha'arona, it's missing the yud. Okay, we have this hey, the first hey. We have this vav, and then we have the second hey. We're just missing the yud, okay? V'nishar, we're left with the hey and the vav and the hey. Ki hey, vav, and hey, haitalehem be'avonam, shelo tav'u hashrat Hashem itam. So they had this hey, vav, and hey because of their sin, that they didn't demand the resting of God with them. Ayudei binyan beit hamikdash, by way of building the Beis HaMikdash. V'zeo ki be'omro ha'arona yesh hey vav hey. And when they said ha'arona, they have the hey and the vav and the hey. Ramez lehucham she'al ken haya ha'malach im ha'makom ha'u. And this hints at, so if you go back to the Orna word, where it's Aleph Vav Resh, that is Or, which is light, and it's the heating up of this place. Ve'alpi darko haita ha-vav bein ha-alef ve-ha-resh. And that's why the vav is between the aleph and the resh, or light, which means can also mean a flame. So there's some kind of heating up of this place to hint that this is the place you should have demanded, this place should already be built. Lermoz ki ha-or halach misham mizman ha-avot. And it's also hinting that this light was there already from the time of our forefathers. Ki kach ole b'mispar. Because that's how it goes up in the count, in the telling, okay? And that also gives us a deeper understanding of seeing the ashes of Yitzchak on this place, that this has been heated, this place has been hot, literally like hot real estate, since the time of our forefathers. And in order to sweeten this hint, because it's a big judgment that they're getting, so a lot of Kabbalists, especially talking about sweetening the judgment, lamtika de din. So to sweeten this hint, nitna havav bein aleph eresh, they placed the vav between the aleph and the resh, lihiot ki haor, so that you would understand this light according to its simple meaning. Ve'achar divrei David hane'imim, and after we heard David's pleasant words, hine anochi chatati, behold, I have sinned, Ba hayud, then the yud comes. V'ne'amar lo hakim l'Hashem mizbeach begeren arniya. So, and he said to him, erect the altar, and offer sacrifices in the threshing floor of arniya. Hare yud he, and then you have the yud and the he, which is one of Hashem's names. So he's explaining that through this process, there was some kind of tikkun, almost some kind of a fixing of the people not having asked for this, and we're shown that through all these different writings and readings of the name of the owner of the threshing floor, and with the yud and the hay and the vav and the hay, and it's all showing us that this is the place where the building is meant to be, and where Hashem's presence will reside, and may we see that speedily in our day. Okay, so just to review, the Malbim explained to us the difference between the 3 and the 7, and also the difference in the Gemara between whether it was 1 hour or the whole day. We got deeper understandings of that. And also that this whole idea of Hashem's hand being the one, and why it was stopped right at Yerushalayim, and Hashem's direct divine providence over David, so that he wouldn't be destroyed along with the righteous and the wicked with this horrible plague. Okay, and David understands that he was saved through divine providence in that way, and he wants the punishment to just be on him. We touched on the idea that maybe the people really are at fault here for not having demanded the building of the Beit Mikdash. They've been living in the land of Israel for a few hundred years already, and it's in the Torah, it's in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, that they're supposed to demand this, or they're supposed to ask for this, so why haven't they yet? And then the Alshich showing the significance of the name of the owner of the threshing floor, where the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and how it hints to that idea of Hashem resting there, and the importance of this place throughout the ages, beginning with Avraham Avinu. Okay, so next week, I'm really excited. We're going to explore that idea more of the punishment of the people. And we're also going to see this, we're going to see a really long Ramban. Thank God I found the English for it. And we're also going to see this amazing tshuva by the Tzitz Eliezer, who was the head rabbi of of the hospital in Israel, Shari Tzedek. And so I look forward to learning with you next week.